I was pressing when I was preparing tonight. I'm sharing about pressing into hard things and choosing to do hard things. And about an hour and a half, actually before that, Steve kept joking about, ha ha ha. Remember when you first gave your testimony? How God told you to scrunch up the bit of paper and just make it up on the spot? Wouldn't it be funny if that happened tonight? And I was like, ha ha, no. And then my computer just deleted my whole talk about an hour and a half ago, and I had a total. I had a nearly had a total mental breakdown. And then I felt like God just reminded me, he's like, would you do hard things? And I was like, I hate it when you do that. And I was like, yes, I would. I'd really rather not. Felt a bit like a pathetic version of Jesus in the garden saying, please take this cup away, but not your will, but mine. And then I found the talk, so it was okay. But I sometimes reckon God has a sense of humor. I reckon he sits up there and he's like, you want to preach about something? I'm going to teach you so that you're not a hypocrite, so that you can stand up there and share honestly. Look, I'll start without the PowerPoint, and if it comes, great. If it doesn't, but let me start by praying. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're the God of everything, God. You're the God of our words. You're the God of our thoughts. You're the God of our hearts. And you're the God of every circumstance. And I just thank you for that tonight, Father. So I just want to read a little bit of the Bible. That's part of our reading plan at the moment, and start with that. It's Paul's encouragement to press on towards the goal and press into the pain of our circumstances. And that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. Pressing on and pressing in. Pressing on to joy and pressing into pain. So it goes like this, Philippians 3, 8 to 16, and I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. It says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteousness through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing with him in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or that I've achieved perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, brothers, I haven't achieved it yet, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold on to the progress we've already made. I want to share with you tonight about pressing on and pressing in. See, at the moment in Just Church, I think we're in a bit of a season of breakthrough. Every week, I'm inspired by so much of what's going on in this community. And before I actually start, I wanted to pause and share an encouragement from our small church. So in a second, I'm going to ask Ricky to come up and read something she wrote for our small church last week. Now, Ricky connected with us at Just Church about a year ago, a bit longer than that, through Eva's place in a lawnmower. Ask her to tell the story sometime. And she's been coming along for a while with her precious little girl, Olivia, who's two. And the breakthrough that she's experiencing in her life has really encouraged and inspired me. So thanks, Ricky.
Hi. Maddie said that I have to introduce myself. So I'm Ricky. I shared this at Small Church last week, and sorry if I'm shaky because there's a lot of people here, which it's awesome because there's a lot of people here, but not so awesome for the nerves. So,
you're doing great.
So the first thing I wanted to share that happened to me recently was it happened near the end of summer semester at uni. I was trying to finish an assignment and I was feeling so overwhelmed. I was sitting there trying to do it and I just could not get any words down on paper. And so I searched up on YouTube to listen to some music, just inspirational songs. And I was like, yes, inspirational songs. This will inspire me to do my assignment. And so it wasn't even Christian inspirational songs. It was just a random playlist on YouTube. And I was at the point where I felt like giving up, giving up for the day, even though the due date was approaching closer and closer. And then another song came on. I can't remember what the song was called, but I know it was a song worshipping Jesus. And I felt this sudden urge to just get up, turn the music up, and dance and sing along to the song. But I was like, no, don't get distracted. You have to get this assignment done. Sit down, don't get distracted. Then I thought, what have you got to lose? You've written like nothing all day. Just get up and sing and dance. So I'm just like, all right, it's a few minutes. I'll get up. And so the music was up really loud. The neighbours probably didn't like me. And I was singing and I was dancing and probably inventing some new dance moves that will never be seen again. And then once the music finished, I turned the music back down, sat down, and I wrote about 500 words in 5 minutes. And, sorry, losing my, where I'm at. I actually looked up the average typing speed of a person, and it turns out that the average typing speed is 40 words per minute. So for me to type that much in such a short period of time is just crazy. So anyway, I went from feeling overwhelmed and wanting to give up to writing more than I had all day and possibly all week. And I believe that it was all because God gave me a nudge and said, sing to me, worship me, and I'll give you the strength to carry on.
That's really good.
When I first started coming to church, I struggled a bit. I'd hear how strong others are in their faith and how they read the Bible and talk to God on a regular basis. And I was just like, I barely have time for a 2-minute shower by myself. How am I going to have time to read the Bible? But I've found just in the last month or two that the more time I've made for reading the Bible and learning about Jesus, the more time I have found myself for other things. And I've started feeling more confident in knowing Jesus and being able to talk about my faith and share that I am a Christian. I follow Jesus. I go to church. Would you like to come on this journey with me? I've recently reached out to a lady that's going through some rough times and asked if she would like to come along to church one day. I'd never have been able to do that a year ago, and I didn't even have that confidence even 2 months ago. Even sharing tonight and at small church the other night is even further out of my comfort zone. And I'm joining Tony with the Red Frogs for the next few nights as well. And hopefully helping other young people come to know God just like Just Church helped me. So I guess I wanted to share this with you all in hopes you feel inspired to talk about God. And if you feel comfortable in your faith and your relationship with God, I still hope this inspires you to reach out to other people and just acknowledge what God's doing in your life. I've found a few scriptures that I think go with what I've shared as well. So the first one is from 2 Corinthians 4:6. For some reason, this scripture spoke to me. It says, it started when God said, light up the darkness, and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. I felt like that's what God did to me. He said, you're my child. Come and see how beautiful life can be if you follow me. He sent his messengers to me to encourage me to have relations with him, and he showed me how bright and beautiful my life can be and is. The second verse is from Proverbs 3, 5-6. I'm sure most people know this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Recently, I had an opportunity to apply for a job and I had no idea whether or not I should apply. And I acknowledged God and I asked him what I should do, and he showed me the path that he wanted me to take. The last scripture is one that I keep repeating to myself, and it's from Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I didn't feel I had the strength to continue on with my assignment. He gave me the strength to keep going. He is giving me the strength and courage to reach out to others. Every day he is teaching me new things and helping me overcome hurdles. He even gave me the strength to not fall over and go cry in a corner tonight. So thank you.
Thanks, Ricky. So I'm so moved every time you share that story, and it might not seem like a big deal to you, but it is a big deal. And the biggest deal is that it's a story about God honouring Ricky's desire to see change in her life and her dedication to actually try his way of doing things, and I'd really admire that. You know, I'm watching God bring breakthrough in her life and in the lives of many people in this community, but I also see that it requires a lot of hard work. And I know it's hard work for me to find breakthrough. In fact, it seems like the things that have been bringing the biggest, deepest, genuine breakthrough have been very hard and very costly. because doing hard and sacrificial and holy things that God asks for is what produces breakthrough. God is in the breakthrough. I've been so challenged reading this letter that Paul wrote and confronted by his attitude to life, honestly. He seemed to face these incredible difficulties of life and he seemed to not pull away from them, not shy away from them. In fact, he was just like so positive and so rejoicing all the time, consistently rejoicing. And I don't know about you, but reading it, I found myself kind of thinking, is this guy completely deluded or just a little bit crazy, or kind of wanting that to be true so that I didn't have to face the fact that often that's not how I face difficulties. In fact, I often complain or get crushed by difficult things. I don't find myself immediately wanting the hard stuff to find breakthrough. But as I thought about it, I wondered whether maybe Paul's a bit more sane than I am. In fact, that's entirely possible. And he probably had a better grasp on reality than do. He seemed to accept that joy and suffering went together intrinsically. He said, "I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to know the fellowship of his suffering." He not only rejoiced in suffering, but he pressed into it. He desired it, and that seems just incongruous to me. But maybe it isn't. He knew that Jesus had to be broken so that we could be made whole, and that suffering and brokenness were part of our call as a Christian, part of his call when Jesus came to him. And maybe that's what authentic breakthrough looks like. I have this quote that's wrecking me at the moment, and it's from a woman who called Ann Voskamp, and I'll just read it. It says, "The seed breaks to give us the wheat. The soil breaks to give us the crop. The sky breaks to give us the rain. The wheat breaks to give us the bread, and the bread breaks to give us the feast. For a seed to come fully into its own, it must become wholly undone. The shell must break open, the insides must come out, and everything has to change. If you didn't understand what life looks like, you might mistake it for complete destruction." And it's so true. I often mistake life for complete destruction. I often interpret pain and the circumstances of my life through a lens of negativity and end up missing out on the opportunity for new life. And honestly, I know this pretty deeply at the moment because I'm profoundly aware of the cost of life when I'm pregnant. I get really sick when I'm pregnant, especially for the first few months. Last time I was nearly hospitalised because I lost so much weight when I was supposed to be gaining it. And this time it's cost us a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of tears, and it cost us even to decide to do it again. Honestly, we didn't go in with our eyes shut. We went in knowing what it would cost us. But I know what's coming at the end too, at the end of 9 months. No, I'm not going to tell labour stories for all the guys who just freaked out. But there's a reason it's called labour. There's a reason, because it's supposed to be hard work, because it's costly and it produces something incredibly valuable. It produces life. And so I don't resent that, because life is worth cost. Breakthrough and newness is worth paying for. And it's hard to focus on the life. It's hard to focus on the end point when we're in pain. I get that. It's hard for me, honestly, in the day-to-day of pregnancy. It overcomes me often, and I don't just find myself rejoicing that I'm vomiting and that I'm sick. But I do choose to focus on the joy at the end, because in context, it's entirely worth it. And that gets me through every day. And in the same way, I'm confident about Jesus tonight, because there's something deeper in me that knows that suffering and hard things are not worth shying away. They're worth pressing into. They're worth pressing into, because real life and the creation of faith that wells up to eternal life in the lives of those that I love, it's hard and it's worth it. You know what? I think everyone here wants breakthrough for each other and for those that we meet and see their brokenness. But breakthrough doesn't just happen on its own. It comes through hard things, and it necessitates doing hard things. It's pressing on to see something happen. It's pressing in to see something happen. And it's choosing to see the other side of reality when you're in the middle of reality. And it's straining through circumstances. I love the Franklin Roosevelt quote that says, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear. The only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be in our doubts of today." And my version for us today is that breakthrough is not the absence of suffering, but the belief that deeper, freer life is possible, and the assessment that seeing it come about is more important than avoiding the cost of suffering. And the only limit to our realization of the breakthrough that Jesus offers is our doubts that he can and will bring it about, and our level of willingness to join in the process. Paul was in an incredibly hard season of breakthrough. He was thrown into prison completely unjustly, but he saw it as an advantage because he could share the message of Jesus. He wasn't faking joy, though it feels like it. He found a deeper reality of joy that goes beyond all of his circumstances, and I just find that wild. Eugene Peterson, the guy who translated the message, says it this way: joy is life in excess. It's abundance in the heart overflowing onto the circumstances of life, rather than circumstances dictating the condition of our heart. That's what Paul was doing. That's what Paul was living, and I want to live like that, don't you? Don't you want that? How good would it be if we didn't have to shrink back from hard stuff in our life? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could just press into the hardship and even be part of the breakthrough that we want to see in other people's lives around us? I really want that. And I don't just mean the kind of regular hard things that we have to do for ourselves. I mean pressing on and pressing in for the sake of others that we see around us that need change desperately. I want to tell you a bit about a really precious couple in my life. You see, I came from a really messy, broken home, and I was a really messy, broken kid. But when I was 9, a friend from school's parents, Keith and Mary Lou, decided to love me. They opened their home to me. They took me on family holidays. At one point, I lived with them for nearly 6 months while my mum was in a psych hospital. And I came along to church stuff with them. I joined in, but I didn't really get it, and I hurt them. But they stuck with me. And I walked away completely from them at 17 and left everything they'd offered me and made a royal mess of my life for 2 years. But they didn't give up on me. They prayed for me. And then 12 years after they first met me, another friend took me to coffee one day and asked me a simple enough question. "Are you happy?" he said. And in that moment, I was completely undone. I had all the circumstances of a happy life, honestly, and yet I didn't have any lasting happiness. I didn't have any joy. Honestly, I succeeded at pretty much everything I touched. I had an amazing relationship. I was doing really well at university. I had a potential career up ahead of me. I'd won scholarships. It was awesome. And in the middle of that, I was suffering with an anxiety disorder that I'd been told I'd be medicated for the rest of my life. And I was crying myself to sleep. I was deeply, deeply unhappy. There was no life overflowing from my heart. And it suddenly rushed upon me that the deeply happy people I knew, like Keith and Mary Lou, the generous, peace-filled people, knew Christ. So I gave up everything I had and I chose to follow Jesus. And I've never, ever regretted it. I do feel like Paul when he says, "I consider it nothing I gave up." Yes, it was hard, but what I gained was immeasurably more valuable than what I lost. I quit uni, threw away a promising career, threw away and burnt hundreds of dollars worth of stuff that symbolized my old life, but I gained infinitely more. I gained peace deep in my heart. I gained overflowing joy, and I've never regretted that. Honestly, I haven't, and I've regretted a lot of things. And it was all possible because that couple was willing to do the hard yards for me, to love me, and that's a picture of what Jesus was like. And if I didn't or wouldn't do hard things for this child inside me now, it wouldn't be alive. And I don't think Paul faced hardship because he was crazy or a masochist. I don't think he liked pain. I don't like pain. I don't think anyone does. But he recognized, and I'm starting to recognize, that sometimes breakthrough won't come any other way. Friends, I'm inviting you tonight to get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes onto Jesus. Because I was saved because Jesus let himself be nailed to a cross. He pressed into a challenge before him. He set his face to Jerusalem, it says in the Bible, towards the cost of our freedom, and he paid the price for it willingly. And as I become a little bit more like that, as I become a little bit more willing to pay a cost to see others set free, I find a joy that surpasses any of the anxiousness or suffering I've experienced before. So how did Paul do that consistently? How did he stay on track while looking with total reality at his difficult life? I think he had his eyes firmly set on Jesus and on how he could share that with others. I don't think he had his eyes on his circumstances I don't think he had his eyes on himself. And that's active faith. It's facing the storm in our lives and standing firm, even when we have no idea how we're going to make it, but trusting God who says he can and that with him we can. Because when you press into a way of living, you can forget the past. You can forget what you gave up or what you did wrong, and you can focus on what God promises, on a heavenly prize, on a joy set before you, and it changes everything. In the Amplified Edition, Philippians 3:12 says this, I actively press on. And in the NLT, in verse 12 to 14, it says, I press on to possess that perfection for which Jesus first possessed me. No, I haven't achieved it yet, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting my past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus, is calling us. And in the Message in 15:16, it says, let us keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision and you'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Total commitment is the challenge of Philippians and of Paul and of Jesus. And it's nothing less that he asks from us than everything. And it's more than everything that he gives us. And that's the craziness of what Paul was experiencing, is that the power that Jesus was offering that could raise people from the dead was more powerful than anything in our lives, anything that we had to give up. That stuff I burnt in my old life, I don't miss any of it, which surprised me then. But more importantly, I don't miss the battle of my mind to decide what to do or how to follow God or whether to follow God in each decision of my life. Some of the press in, press on reality is decided when we reconcile ourselves to the call of Jesus. Jesus holds out hope and forgiveness. You've heard that, I'm sure. Yep. But he doesn't promise it'll be easy. So do we really want freedom? Do we really want that offer? And are we prepared to pay the cost for it? You know, Keith and Mary Lou, that couple, they decided they wanted freedom for me so much that they kept reaching out for 12 years. They kept loving me even when I was very unlovable. I wouldn't be here if someone else hadn't paid a price, if Jesus hadn't paid a price. And I'm compelled by that knowledge to give up my life for others because it's worth it. I know firsthand that their sacrifice is worth it. I wanted to finish with Hebrews. It says, therefore, in 12:1-3, it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings it to maturity, the champion, the starter, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy of accomplishing a goal set before him endured the cross, disregarded its shame and sat down at the right hand of God. Just consider